Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. And we'll be reading the verses 15 through 19. Exodus chapter 15, the verses 19 through 21. And we as a congregation have been going through the book of Exodus, and we are all the way to chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." That's the reading of God's word this morning. One of the most important times of my week, each and every week, is Saturday morning prayer meeting. Because on Saturday morning, when I come to prayer meeting, I quite often share with the men that are there insights from the scripture passage that I'm going to preach on the next day. And quite often when I come to prayer meeting, I've spent hours and hours studying into a passage and doing lots of research, and I come to the prayer meeting and I've got all these thoughts and ideas in my head, and I haven't quite put them all together yet. And what happens at prayer meeting is that I'm forced, in a way, to take what I've studied and to summarize it. And quite often it helps from the men who are sitting there who come, because they have questions and they're able to ask and analyze the passage that I'm studying, and it helps me anticipate what kinds of questions you might have as you listen to that sermon. Well, yesterday morning at prayer meeting, I told the men that for the first time as we've gone through the book of Exodus, I'm going to skip a few verses. The verses that I have just read in verses 19 through 21 are very much the same verses that we've already read and heard sermons about the previous 2 weeks. Verse 19 is almost an exact repetition of what goes on at the end of chapter 14. Verse 21 is the same verse as the first verse in chapter 15. The song of Miriam is almost exactly the same as the first verse of the song of Moses. And because of the repetition, I told the men yesterday that I think I'm going to skip these verses and move on to the next section. Well, they looked very disappointed. How can you move on and leave these verses behind? And so after sharing with them some of the insights from this particular verse, I went home and once again re-examined these verses. And one of the things that I discovered was that many conservative scholars do this same very thing. This Song of Miriam is a song that is quite often skipped over and left behind. In the 5 commentaries I have at home, very little is mentioned about this song, and most of the commentaries say nothing at all. Why is it that conservatives leave these verses behind? Well, some of the reasons are, as I have already said, verse 19 tells us the same thing that has already been said in chapter 14. Verse 21 is almost an exact repetition of the first verse of the Song of Moses. And verse 20 is a verse that quite often scares conservatives. They don't want to touch it. Why? Because in verse 20, Miriam is described as a prophetess. And those conservatives who have a strong view against women's ordination in the offices of elder and deacon in the church would rather not deal with verse 20, because if verse 20 is read and dealt with, it will raise questions about their stand about women's ordination. And so most conservatives fall in line and decide, I've already preached on the Song of Moses, let's move on to verse 22. But what about the liberals? Well, liberals respond to the conservatives at this point. The liberals look at this particular passage and at this particular song, and they react to what the conservatives have done. The conservatives skip over the Song of Miriam. And the liberals make the case that they skip over this song because Miriam is a woman. They want to give credit to Moses, the man who gave his song, and Miriam, the woman, is the one who gets left out and left behind. They make the case that the reason conservatives leave out this passage and skip it over is because Miriam is a woman. In fact, some of them go so far as to say that perhaps the words of Moses were really the words of Miriam. They make the case that verse 19, which tells us the story of Pharaoh's horses and chariots going into the sea, how the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, and how the Israelites walked through on dry ground. They make the case that that verse should actually be put at the end of chapter 14, and that verse 1 of chapter 15 should be canceled out, and the Song of Miriam in verse 21 put at the beginning. They claim that conservatives have taken the text and have put the Song of Moses where it is because Moses is a man and because Miriam is a woman and because Miriam is the prophetess. She had to have written this song, and so conservatives have stuck her at the end. Let me give you the title of some of these articles. One article was entitled, Bringing Miriam Out of the Shadows. The other article was entitled, The Long Lost Song of Miriam. Well, after prayer meeting yesterday, and after re-examining these passages, I decided that neither side is correct. As conservatives, we should not overlook this passage and refuse to deal with it simply because of what it tells us. And as liberals, we must not take verses out of the Scripture and decide that we need to put other verses in their place to make it say something different. We need to be balanced. We should not go as the conservatives go. We should not go as the liberals go, but we should seek to know and understand what the Lord has to teach us about the Song of Miriam. Well, what does the Lord have to teach us? Let's take a closer look at our passage. Verse 19. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Yes, those liberals make a good point, don't they? This verse is a summary of what has happened in chapter 14. This verse, in some ways, would fit better if it was at the end of chapter 14. But God has placed it here. Why? Let's look at verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing, and Miriam sang to them. This section is in narrative. What God has said through Moses in verses 1 through 18 is poetry. It is a song that Moses has written. But once again, before we have the song of Miriam, God puts narrative. And if we know, or if you knew about Hebrew verbs, you would know that when the Lord writes narrative, He writes it in the form of consecutive action. How does that help us? Well, these verses should be read this way. When Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen went into the sea, what happened? The Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. Well, what's the next thing that happened? Verse 20. Then Miriam the prophetess did what? She took a tambourine. What's the next thing that happened? The women followed her. What's the next thing that happened? Verse 21. Miriam sang. These verbs are in consecutive sequence. What does that tell us? Well, if these verbs are in consecutive sequence, as the verbs at the end of chapter 14, that tells us that what these two things are telling us is that these things have happened at the same time. In verse 19, we're reading about Pharaoh's horses and chariots going down into the sea and the Israelites walking in dry ground. Well, what's the next thing that happened after that? Miriam sang her song. At the end of 14, we read about the Israelites going through the dry ground, through the waters of the Red Sea. And what's the next thing that happened? Moses sang his song. What does that tell us? It tells us that these songs are not in chronological order. It is not necessarily true that Moses sang his song first because it was most important, and then Miriam sang her song after Moses because it was less important. The text is telling us that both songs are important. That Moses' song is important, and that Miriam's song is also equally important. They sang them both at the same time, right after the Lord's deliverance. They are different songs, but they are both important. What else is the text telling us? Verse 21. Sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. Verse 1 of the Song of Moses. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. These verses are almost exactly the same. The song of Miriam and the song of Moses are almost identical. They have the same thoughts. They are singing the same song of victory. God is telling us that these songs are not different. These songs are not one better than the other. These songs are the same. And both the women and both the men sang this song. But then the question is, why is the song of Miriam put at the end? If this song of Miriam is sang right after the deliverance, why did the Lord put more narrative in verses 19 and 20? Why has the Lord structured it this particular way? Well, you have to think about where we are in our story. Israel has been delivered. All through the beginning of the book of Exodus in chapter 1, God's promises have been fulfilled. God has brought the promise of fulfillment upon Israel. They are increasing in number. The Egyptians, to stop the blessing of the Lord, have forced the Israelites into slavery. And all the way through the book of Exodus, up until this point, we have read of the conflict between God and Pharaoh, between Moses and Aaron, and between Pharaoh. And now in chapter 15, the Israelites are celebrating their deliverance. This is the end of the deliverance. God has delivered them from slavery. They have passed through the sea. Pharaoh's army is destroyed. But remember how our story started. It was the midwives of Egypt that saved the boys of Israel. When Moses was born, the edict was given that he be thrown into the Nile and drowned along with all the other Israelite boys. And it was Miriam, Moses' sister, who watched over her brother, the Savior of Israel. She stood at the banks of the Nile and watched as he floated away in the basket. She is the one who went to Pharaoh's daughter and brought the boy's mother to feed the child. Miriam has a pivotal role in the salvation of this story. Before we read about Moses going to Pharaoh, we read about his sister Miriam, who has a vital part in the salvation of Israel and in the birth of Moses. Our story begins not with Moses, it begins with Miriam. And how does the salvation story end? It doesn't end with Moses. It ends with Miriam. Miriam has not appeared in this story all the way from chapter 2 till now. God is telling us that the story of Miriam and her role in the salvation of Israel brackets the salvation that Israel experiences. Miriam is not to be left out because she is a woman. She, as a woman, has a vital, important part in the salvation of Israel. And Miriam, who stood on the banks of the Nile at the beginning of the story to watch over her brother, at the end of the story, stands on the banks of the Red Sea and sings the song of deliverance of the Lord. Miriam sings because she knows that the Lord has saved Israel. Miriam sings because in chapter 2, when Pharaoh had given the order to destroy all the Egyptian boys to drowning, she has seen the Lord's reversal of that edict. For when she stands on the banks of the sea, Pharaoh's army, his boys, have drowned in the sea. Miriam sings this song in celebration as a woman, because not only have the men, Moses and Aaron, played a significant part in the salvation of the Lord and in singing about the deliverance of the Lord, but so has Miriam, the woman. She also has a part. She also has been a part of the Lord's plan, of the Lord's deliverance, and she also sings the song of victory along with the men. In fact, in verse 20, we read that Miriam is described as a prophetess, as Aaron's sister. She took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women of Israel followed her with tambourines and with dancing. In the ancient Near East, there is a custom, or there was a custom, that when a victorious army returned from battle, the women of that nation would go out to meet that army, and they would sing the song of deliverance and salvation of Israel. Miriam leads the women to sing this song. And Miriam's song is not individual. You will notice in verse 21 and verse 1 that there is one difference between this song. In verse 1, we read that Moses and the Israelites sing, "I will sing to the Lord." And in verse 21, we read that Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord." God is cluing us in that this salvation is for men and this salvation is for women. They also have an important part. They also take part in this salvation. They also in heaven will stand next to the great sea and sing with all of God's people the song of salvation, the song of deliverance of God's people. But what about Miriam, the prophetess? God has given Miriam, at this time in history, a specific task, a specific place for this time period. She has the special office of a prophetess. She has a significant role as she sings her song of praise to the Lord. Miriam's role is significant, but as a prophetess, we don't read of her taking over from her place as a woman. She is at the beginning of the story, and she saves Moses. But through the middle of the story, we read nothing of her. She doesn't go to Pharaoh and confront him. She doesn't lead the people when Moses fails or is afraid to speak. But she, as a prophetess, does her role. She lets the men do their responsibilities, and she does her responsibilities. Not that one person is more important than another. Each man, each woman does their roles, and before the Lord, each role is as important. Each role is as vital. Without either the men or the woman, God's plan could not take place. God uses Miriam, God uses Moses and Aaron. So significant is their role that in Micah chapter 6, verse 3, Micah describes the importance of Miriam. Micah chapter 6, verse 3. Here it tells us, actually verse 4, I'm sorry. Micah writes to his people, "The Lord says to you, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you and also Aaron and Miriam." Micah credits the Lord's deliverance from Egypt not only to Moses and Aaron, but Miriam was also sent. Miriam had her role. Miriam had her place. She is as important as Moses and as Aaron. But there was a time when Miriam went too far. Perhaps you remember the story in Numbers chapter 12. Moses and Aaron are out in the wilderness, and Miriam and Aaron appear in the story once again. In Numbers chapter 12, we read of Miriam and Aaron beginning to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And at once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "Come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, and he stood at the entrance to the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you afraid not to speak against Moses?" And when the cloud lifted from the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy, and he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed." Miriam, at one point in her life, does go too far. She speaks against the appointed leader of the Lord. God is telling us in this Song of Miriam that we should not overlook her role. Her role is a different role. It's not a lesser role. It is also important. As Moses and Aaron had their place, Miriam had her place. And before the Lord, all together, as male and female, they take part in the deliverance and in the praise of the Lord. What is the church to learn from this? The church has specifications in the book of Timothy and in other places where it tells us that men are to be the elders and the deacons of the church. And sometimes within the church, the men of the church seem to have an attitude that because the women cannot lead, that their role is not as important, and that they, in some ways, are less before the Lord. And sometimes the women of the church begin to think that because they are a woman and they can't have specific positions in the church, that they, what they do before the Lord is not as important or is not as good. How wrong that is. When we read the Song of Miriam, we know that we should not skip over her role in the salvation of Israel. She has her function, she has her place, and she does what's right. But we also know that she should not go too far. Together, she serves her role with the men, singing the praises of God. She does what she can do. No one is more important. Each one is as important in what they do and as they function. And as the church, we should not overlook the role of women, even in the scriptures. For it is a woman who gives birth to the Lord Jesus. She sings the Song of Mary. It is a woman who pours out her perfume, her very expensive perfume, on the feet of the Lord Jesus, anointing his body as he goes to his death and dries the perfume with her hair. It is the women who are sitting at the foot of the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ cries out and dies. It is a woman who meets him first of all when he raises from the grave on that Easter morning. All throughout Scripture, the men have their role, the women have their role. Together they serve the Lord, and together as they serve, each one is important. We as a church must remember this. We shouldn't skip over this song as if it's not important, as if Miriam is not important. We must not skip over the women in our church as if they are not important, as if their role is not important. They serve the Lord too. They also sing his praises. They also take part within the functioning of the church. And together, as we know this, as we function, we know that the Lord works in his church through all of us, male and female. And as women, we must not be sad or frustrated that we cannot be elders or pastors or deacons. But we must be thankful for the role that the Lord has given us. We must be faithful in our role as Miriam was faithful. We must know that the Lord uses both men and women together to serve him and to glorify his name. And someday when we stand by that sea in heaven, the men and the women of the church will sing God's praises together as one. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the song of Miriam. We're thankful, Lord, this morning that we do not overlook this song, but that we can know the importance of it for the church and for Israel. And Lord, we pray that our church would also know and live out this song, that Lord, each day we would be thankful for the different roles that you have given us as we serve you, that you would stop any attitude which would come upon us, which might indicate that one role is more important than another. We know before you, O Lord, that only Christ and his role is important, that only Christ and what he has done receives the glory. We as your people, men or women, receive no glory. He receives it all. Help us, Lord, as your people, to function in this way before you. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we will sing the song of Moses, the song of Miriam, and the song of the Lamb all together in heaven. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.